control our emotions and tempers and emotions of all. And we pray that your will would be done here, that we might do the business of the citizens of Brown County in a way that would be pleasing to you and have the best benefit to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we've got the...
Hang on. Before you start, I'd like to just say one thing.
Yeah.
No matter how bad this thing goes today, it's still going to be way better than the RDC meeting was last night.
Oh, really?
I'll just speak of that.
Hello, what's...
Classy.
Well, you're not sharing your screen, are you?
Anybody get shot?
Up there. So see what you're still sharing on...
It's a police call. Kevin? That's spooky.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've got the agenda on the board. I handed some out over there, but we're shifting it around to see what happens. So the operating departments is going to go first. CBC may show up shortly. All right. Kevin, you want to take it?
Well, thanks, guys, for giving us the time to talk to you about this. Real quick, I'm going to let Jimmy, he's one of the property owners of the Tilton family. He wants to say a few words to you, and then I'll get into the boring nuts and bolts of the lift we have to do in a very short time to meet the requirements for the Upton's Ready second round.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ladies and gentlemen of the County Council and County Commissioners, thank you for joining us today.
I don't think you might tell me.
Is it put on?
There you go.
All right. My name is Jimmy Tilton. I'm here to discuss an opportunity. It's the Opry Apartments Project. This initiative is not just about bricks and mortar. It is about our people, our most valuable asset. Brown County faces a growing housing crisis. Demand for affordable housing has skyrocketed, driven by a combination of economic factors and the COVID-19 pandemic. Home prices have reached historic highs, making it increasingly difficult for our residents to find affordable places to live. This has contributed to a shrinking housing pool and a decline in school enrollment as families struggle to find homes. The Opry Apartments Project aims to address these issues by redeveloping the former site of the Little Nashville Opry, which has remained a blighted tract since the fire in 2009. Our project will provide 164 market-ready apartment units, directly adding to much-needed housing for our community. We've applied for Ready 2.0 grant funding through the IEDC by Eli Lilly, and we need your support to secure the public match. This is where your commitment becomes crucial. We are not asking for a check today, but a letter of support indicating your commitment to this public match. Why is this so vital? Investment in our people. Our greatest asset, in any community you can have is its people. This project provides housing for nearly 330 individuals. Many people want to try out a community by renting before they buy a home. This project gives that opportunity, allowing them to be part of our community and contribute to its growth and vitality. Number two, economic and demographic benefits. The lack of starter homes and entry-level housing deters young individuals, families, and professionals from settling here. Our project aims to reverse this trend, attracting new residents and stabilizing home prices. By adding to the property tax base, this project will generate substantial revenue that can be reinvested in our community, enhancing public services and infrastructure. Number three, support for our local businesses and employment. Many local businesses face challenges in attracting and retaining employees due to the housing shortage. The new apartments will provide convenient housing options for workers, boosting local businesses and employment opportunities. Educational impact, number four. The decline in school enrollment is directly linked to the lack of available housing. By providing new homes, we can stabilize and increase school enrollment, ensuring our schools remain vibrant and well-funded. All right. In conclusion, the Opry Apartments Project is a transformative initiative that addresses our community's most pressing needs. It offers a solution to the housing crisis, supports our economic growth, and invests in the future of our residents. I urge you to support this project by committing to the public match requirement. Together, we can create a brighter, more prosperous future for Brown County.
Thank you. Kevin?
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Let me give you the quick rundown on how we got here. Back in the middle of May, we submitted several projects here in the community. I think it was 10 or 11. I helped put together a few of them, including this one for the Opry Apartments. That was submitted under the generic Ready 2.0, which we all heard Governor Holcomb and the IEDC released $500 million statewide. Back in early May, we got word that that $500 million pool was divided up among the 15 regional development groups in the state. We are in the Uplands region, as you all know, and Uplands was awarded $30 million. That's when it got interesting. We submitted under the Ready 2.0 generic, which you could apply for infrastructure, so forth. The main thing was infrastructure. Eli Lilly had announced that they were pitched, the Eli Lilly Foundation, announced that they had added another $250 million to the pool, okay? And they split that into two piles. $65 million of that went to arts and culture, whether or not you want to have an opera house here is for another meeting. The other $885 million was set aside directly for emphasized blight remediation and redevelopment. Now, when we submitted the letter of interest to Ready, to the Uplands region, originally we did not place the Opry project in that pool. We submitted under the generic Ready 2.0, which means we were in competition with upwards of 90 or 95 other projects in the Uplands counties. I think there's 10 or 11 in 10 counties in the Uplands region. And we were in direct competition with those other 10 counties and their projects for a portion of the $30 million. The folks over in Bloomington at the Uplands Region Headquarters looked at our letter of interest and on their initiative moved our project from the $30 million pool competition into the $185 million pile. They emphasized that we were an extraordinary project. So, fast forward to a week ago today, we had a conference call with the Ready headquarters and five other communities who were submitting projects. I think it was the Monon Trail South, which is going from basically Bedford all the way down to Clarksville or something like that. They wanted money to take abandoned houses and stuff off the railroad bed. Paoli, Washington, and Jasper all submitted requests to restore and reuse, repurpose old buildings on their town squares, basically. One in Paoli, I think, was the Mill Creek building, I think they called it. And the sixth one was, and I don't remember the county this was in, but there was a 100-acre Pioneer Farm that they were wanting to put some money in to turn it into more of a something similar to Connor Prairie. They wanted to emphasize local old farming community, and then there was us. So IEDC had instructed the Uplands region to select four projects to be submitted for the $185 million pool. They picked six, they talked to us, and if you listen real closely to some people talking, two of the communities can't meet the end of July deadline. So, without, to quote George Peterson, you know, your precise language is important. They said we will submit four projects for the $185 million. IEDC has dictated that each region will submit four. If you listen very carefully, you could almost interpret that as saying we're going to fund four projects in each region out of this $185 million pool. So there's 15 regions, four per region, 60 projects. They were going to score these on a rolling scale, which is similar to what State Revolving Fund does in their preferred project list. So what that means is top scoring project will probably get fully funded. 3, 4, 5, 6 probably get fully funded depending on how they score, which is a combination of cost benefit, you know, how economic levels of the local community they're in. That could go on and on with variables that go into that. What is encouraging on that is even if we scored down the list, if another community, say we rank number 8 when we get into this scoring role, and someone else like got a really nice project, but they haven't put the time that the Tiltons of I put into it to get it to the detail that we're at. So project number 6 says, thanks for ranking us high. We're not ready. We won't make the deadline. They slide out. Everyone else moves up a notch. So that's kind of what they alluded to, how the selection process was going to go. So make a look now, getting to the point of this, they also gave us a list of viable, and that's what I didn't print out. They gave us a list, and I'll make it available to everyone here, of viable public sources of match. What this means is in this $185 million pool, your project has a 3-to-1 private and a 1-to-1 local match. And there's about a dozen categories that you can get your local match out of, ranging from us standing up here and asking you for a check, a tax abatement, edit tax, a TIF, contributions from your local utilities.
Got the list up there.
Thank you. Everything that says public on there is the available pool that we could contact local bodies for to say if, you know, you chip in 50, chip in 100, make an in-kind match. So we can meet the one-to-one public. So the private match side is a 3-to-1. So in our project, and I'll get into the, you know, real basic financial breakdown here momentarily, you have to have a 3-to-1. So for every $3 that you put in privately, they can hit you up with a $1 match. So, but on the public side, it's a 1-to-1. So they're looking for this to be a public-private partnership to have something that's a big impact on the community. Moving on to our request today, and if you've got one of these, I think I've got a few more there, someone doesn't have one. Go to page 5, and you'll see a very generic breakdown of our project cost. You can see it's a fully developed, all-in, $25.8 million project. We break this down into how could we get some local match help. We're looking at, and this is something that we'll have to sit down with Greg on, I'm sure, to work, make sure these numbers are right, and get his opinion on how to restructure them if we calculated them wrong. So this is not a demand. This is, we're trying to get ahead of the curve on this because we have to have this submitted by the end of July. So we're looking at a potential tax abatement of roughly 1.8, a little bit less than 1.8, and to apply the edit, local edit tax of about 1.65. So we'll be looking at a potential match, the one-to-one side, of 3.4 million. Now, again, this is not money that's coming out of your current budget. This would be money, and you look at it, you can say it's a TIF. It's the same thing. It's accessing future tax revenues. Okay? These are, again, on a TIF. You don't have that revenue until the project exists. People would say, well, you're taking money from the schools. Well, no. We're taking money, diverting taxes to stimulate significant growth on a project. So, with a very short timeline, this is the best shot we have at making this July 1 deadline. Now, when they had their talk with us on Tuesday, they still didn't have the instructions on how to apply for this and what the guides are from IEDC. They hoped they had them Friday. They didn't. They hoped to have them Monday. They didn't. We just got the questionnaire, the preliminary questionnaire, at about 5:15 yesterday. So there is a questionnaire along with a pretty detailed spreadsheet on how we would have to take our pro forma, go into detail. They want an itemized construction estimate. We're talking curbs, how much pavement, how much you're spending on erosion, what's the water, what's the sewer, what's your meter size. Fortunately, we've done a lot of work in the past couple of years off and on and moving these things forward, this project forward, with, you know, developing more details just for us to keep our conversation going. There's a lot to do in the next 10 days for me. I don't know how I'm going to get it done, but one way or another, we will. In the bottom section there on page 5, you see how we would spend that ready or LEI match. Sewer force main lift station, water improvements, road intersection improvements, and then soft costs, which include everything from architect's fees to lawyers to title work, appraisals. There's about $1 million in change, 1.3, I think, in soft costs in doing a project like this, including permitting. There's probably a $25,000 permit just to get a state plan release on a project like this. So that's not fast. So that's the quick on how we got here. A little bit of history for some folks that weren't involved a few years ago. In 2013, I believe it was the Wyman family, was trying to redevelop, purchase, and rebuild the Opry after the fire. And I've got a copy of the 2013 tax abatements ordinance, if you want to pass that around right now. I don't know if I got enough copies there or not. I think I got a dozen. So in 2013, the county council approved a 10-year, 100% tax abatement to help the Wymans. Probably, I think if I remember right, the conversation back then was they were trying to get a package treatment plant built to serve that area. There was, don't know what really happened, you know, why it never got off the ground, but it didn't. However, the county council back in 2013 seemed very willing to help redevelop this property. So with that history, that's the obvious reason that we're coming back here asking for a reevaluation of this previous abatement. Now, I don't think this abatement is transferable with a new owner. Since the land was never actually transferred, to the Wymans. I don't know if it's valid. I'm just bringing this up as historical evidence, excuse me, that the county council back then was more than willing to help and could see that there was extreme value in getting this property redeveloped and revitalized after the fire. We have looked at and had conversations in the past with the town of Nashville about connecting. At that time, they were quite willing to. We have not brought this back with the town yet because of our time constraints. I'm going back to the deadline of July 31st to turn this in. I don't have time to run this by two or three or four different boards. Okay? I know it's going to be a big ask for this panel. Okay? However, I don't think, and hopefully we're going to get the final rules from IEDC today, at least by the end of the week. I believe a letter of endorsement with a little more teeth than the letter that you gave us previously when we turned in for the letter of interest will suffice. I don't know how they think anyone to ask for any time for this kind of local public or public match in 11 days. But we have to try. Okay? So, with that, questions? Fire away.
Kevin, what is your, who are the people involved in this project, and then what specifically is your role?
Okay. I worked with Andrew and Jimmy for the last couple of years looking at how to utilize their property around Nashville. They've got the place across from the entrance of Hartruth Hills. They call that the Bunny Trail property. They've got a couple lots here in town. They've, you know, you've heard recently that the farm, the big 80-some acres on the west side of Nashville, has generationally been transferred. They've got some other property across the Hannondale Estates and the Opry property. So we've been looking at a master planning of how to best utilize all of these properties and help the community as a whole.
So are you working in on a pro bono basis, or are you working on a professional level? And if on a professional level, then is there a fee-for-service agreement between you and then the Tilton family?
We have a handshake that I'm helping them right now.
Okay, but is there something at the end then that this could transfer over into where it'd be a revenue stream for you?
Probably.
Okay.
I would hope so after
everything's
done. Well,
that's
done. Am I in the running?
Yeah, you better. Yeah.
Get the money.
Yeah.
Okay. We're saying find the money, we'll give you the work.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. And then second follow-up question with that is, so is this kind of what you're looking from us today is basically a letter of a recommendation, and we get to things, you kind of throw it against the wall and see if it sticks and see what happens?
Yeah, that's...
We are?
Yeah, I know.
And so this isn't an irrevocable decision on our behalf, is it?
No, I don't... Okay. There's no way I can be anywhere appropriate for me to come in and ask for you to take a vote on giving us a tax abatement.
Right.
On a 15-minute discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we're not asking that. It's like, is the council and the commissioners, I think in this case, since it's financial commitment, it stays with the council.
Yeah.
That you'd be willing to seriously pursue looking at, and we'll talk with Mr. Garitas here in more detail on the actual numbers, but the general concept is to just look at a tax abatement and applying the edit funds from the future development of this property.
Right, right. And then just one last thing, clarification, and I don't propose to know, I'm no expert on TIF, okay. But on the tax abatement and TIF, way I think I understand it is that, you know, currently you have that property that is a blighted piece of property, generates nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay. So what we get into is this net assessed value. So the net assessed value is here. If that unit goes in, then that net assessed value jumps up.
Right.
And we're talking about is that delta of increase in net asset value over a future of 10 or 15, 20 years. Correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
So the difference is when the property owner, developer, builder gets the funds. If it was a TIF, it'd go through the public review process. We'd ask you to issue a bond.
Right.
So we'd have a check when we start construction. Okay. A lot of times that's necessary because, as I've told the group before, public infrastructure is a non-equity construction cost that banks kind of frown at. Why are you doing a project when you need to spend $3 million on utilities? But they can't, you know, they can't foreclose on a water line. They can't foreclose on a road. Okay. When we do our project life pro forma with a tax abatement, yes, property taxes are the cost of doing business. Salaries, income taxes are the cost of doing business. We can say, okay, we can look at our 20-year pro forma in the life of our construction bond or construction loan and minus that out. That becomes a credit that we use on our annual loan payments. So you are 100% correct. We're talking about the same amount generally of money. The big difference is deliverable or in a long-term payment.
Okay. Thank you.
Darren?
Just to clarify, we were talking about an abatement and a TIF.
Yes. No, not a TIF.
Not the added value of the sewer retention?
Pardon?
Isn't that going to be TIF?
No.
And it's not TIF, that's a different
thing. No.
Okay.
No.
You can do both.
Right. Because you're talking about the same delta as Jim pointed out, you're talking about the same delta on the increased tax revenue. Okay.
So it's an abatement then. Both of those are part of the abatement.
Yeah, the edit revenue from future residents on their income taxes, as well as the property tax abatement. So, as it says, those are viable local public matches that we can apply to the one-to-one portion of this LEI funding.
And that's over 15 years?
Is that what you would have said?
Yeah. 15 years for tax abatement, and it graduates down. So it's 100% year one, and then it reduces it by 6.667% every year thereafter for a total of 15 years, and last year it's 6%. So the income from the county increases every single year, starting with year two. It goes on. There's a significant amount of money that the county will receive. You will receive more money than we're getting an abatement on over 20 years.
Yeah. The property is currently owned, so there's a property tax value line.
Yes.
Is that also going to be part of the entire property tax value of the enrolled in the abatement?
I don't.
Yes.
I guess it would be. Right now, it's almost de minimis. The value of the property is next to nothing.
It's worthless.
It's worthless plus a little bit, tiny bit.
But what's going to happen?
Wait a minute, I guess we need it.
Essentially, what's going to happen in this first year then is all that property tax value of it is going to go away, and it's going to spread out over the rest of the levy.
Okay.
So pretty much you're asking the taxpayers to cover the first year costs.
No, there's no.
It's going to water. There's our levy is a bucket of water. You take this out, everything else is going to have to flow into the fund. It will spread out.
No. Yes, if we do an abatement that includes what we're paying now on that property, which is almost nothing, and you're talking tiny bit. But as far as future tax goes,
I was talking about just year one, because by year two, then you're going to incrementally.
Well, year one is.
Year one would be. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and then from that point on.
Understand.
It picks up 6%.
Understand that, and I've got a construction timeline chart here. Once we start year one, there is no value to the land yet. The project is not done. So you'll be looking at a construction site on year one. Okay, so I don't know how you're going to evaluate a site that's under construction.
When?
Which is currently, what was it? I mean, we could look on the GIS and see what that is, but I think it's only like $1,200.
It's de minimis.
So how
about... I'll get back. Like,
oh, sorry.
You had your chance.
I was just going to say that, you know, I'm on record as saying of the tax increase that we got to the Our Kids Are Worth It folks, I said that, you know, I didn't want to be construed as being anti-teacher because that's not what I meant. But what I said, and Linda's here, is that giving the teachers a raise is not in any way going to fix the school system's problem. So I said, if those people, the Our Kids Are Worth It people, would get the same energy they got into that, into this kind of a project, then you're moving the ball in the right direction. There's where the money's coming from.
Yeah. Correct.
So maybe you can round up the troops and
the science.
Okay, Jim.
Well, now I have two questions.
Okay. I had coffee. I had 3 hours of sleep.
Are these like the one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom?
This development will be a mix of one and two bedroom.
Okay, then $1,500 a month for
their market rate.
If I wanted to rent a two bedroom, it cost me about $1,500.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then
it's market rate. We looked when we looked at our pro forma. We looked at about 8 apartment projects, complexes on the east side of Bloomington. And 2 or 3 on the west side of Columbus. And we're right in the midst, maybe a little bit on high side of the mean with this project.
Okay, now, I'm going to make a statement to the council and everybody in the room, number one, and then I'm going to back it up with a question. Does everyone in the room feel that there is a need for Brown County to add residential housing? Residential. Does everybody feel that there's a valid need for residential housing?
I'll give you a statistic. There's a guy in Bean Blossom right there changing the building into 5 units. Apartments. He advertises one for $1,400. It's almost like an efficiency sort of one bedroom. 75 responses in one day.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow, okay. Number two,
if you look in the back end of the Ready Uplands housing study, it says that with their analysis, they're looking at a need in Brown County alone by 2035 of 660 dwelling units.
That makes sense.
Okay. And they've got it in their split between rental and
I've done my own math on this whole thing. So if everybody agrees that we need to increase residential real estate and underscore residential real estate, not tourist homes. There's a big distinction between the two. Right? If that's the case, and what all you're asking for today is basically a non-binding letter of recommendation, this joint venture, because this is what this is. This is a joint venture between the public sector and the private sector, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Could we not use this experience for a key group of people, whether elected or not elected, to acquire the intellectual capital to learn how to work with the private sector and being able to expand and add additional residential real estates within the county?
I would think that would be a wonderful idea.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Because my position on it, and just as a disclosure, I've had last Saturday on a lawnmower, I had a conversation with Jimmy Tilton, is we've got the Tilton family, which goes back generations. The Tilton family owned, and I'm fully aware of the real estate they own within the county. And as a private sector person, the United States of America is about free capitalism, free market capitalism. So this is just free market capitalism at work, right? That's all it is. But it's the private sector that drives that free market capitalism. but it has to have the support of the government to put these deals together. And to me, this would be an opportunity, because I know absolutely zero about what's involved to go from the beginning to where you have the ribbon cutting ceremony. I don't have any clue of how that would work.
We've run some numbers internally ourselves, but we're not as well versed in the public finance side as Mr. Garitas here.
Right.
So, with that caveat that we could be completely wrong, if we look at what we're asking, which is the abatement and edit credit, we're looking at about a $3.4 million pledge. Okay. We run the numbers throughout the project for the 20 years and look at the excess taxes that this project will bring into the community over that 20-year span, and we're looking at about 110% return on your investment, okay? We're going to generate excess of 7.25 mil in excess taxes over what we're asking to pledge from the future that this project will generate.
And I want to follow up with that, and just as a disclosure, a few weeks ago, I took the liberty to do the research, to pull the data, the accurate data, because I wanted to, the claim that's been made, I believe it was Ball State, that Brown County is a bedroom community, okay? But I didn't have any supporting documentation for that. So what I did is I pulled the GDP, gross domestic product, from the five surrounding counties.
Right.
And I found out that Bartholomew ranks number 6 in the state of Indiana in GDP per capita.
Right.
$29.5 billion.
Right.
And let me just finish with this. This is, my concern for the county over the next 30 years is we have the tourism, this private sector tourism in our county, right? And when you contrast our economy, which is $362 million, as opposed to $29.5 billion, confirms that we, in fact, are a bedroom community. And who's paying the income taxes and property taxes are the individuals that reside here full-time. They call Brown County home, but they're working outside the county.
Sure.
My concern is if we've got to be careful as a county with this tourist rentals and this increase in tourism, because if that gets out of control, we could jeopardize the very thing of the reality that we are a bedroom community.
Well,
and so to me, to have a proactive, you're very proactive in trying to address residential housing, okay, and then help work with the private sector to be able to add residential housing,
okay,
is something I think is extremely important for the county.
Well, if you look at page 1, the second paragraph, item number 1, that's exactly what I allude to, in that the major factor is we've got tourist homes, we have problem, and I'm not pointing a finger at anyone. This is just my gut telling me. We've got a lot of unregistered weekend getaway homes. We have a lot of second homes. I've got a couple, actually, very good friends of mine have a second home here. They're both lawyers in Indianapolis. Okay. Those are all homes that, while they're on our dwelling list, Brown County residents don't live in them.
Right.
They are single-family homes, dwellings, that are out of the residential slash student pool, and the 8,500 homes, I would really like to spend like 2 weeks just sitting in front of the GIS computer and the tax rolls and stuff and see how many of them are residents, how many of them are really rentals, how many of them are second homes, weekend getaways, and tourist homes. And I think we would be astounded if we could spend the man hours, and I know how much time you spend at it, Jim, it would take that and then some to sort through this mess.
I would love to know who, there's 319 square miles, take half of that.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Great. Who owns Brown County? How many people that live outside money versus inside money? And what percentage does the outside money actually own of the residential real estate within the county?
Judy?
This is just kind of a statement and thought and maybe a question.
Okay.
A few weeks ago in the news, I had heard that IEDC had done kind of a comprehensive study, and so I believe it was like 630,000 homes maybe across the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's part of the study
that's fine.
So I'm assuming that's why we've applied, because that's out there, and we have this need.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I really thought that 630,000 was actually a low number for
us. Yeah, that's a yes to all. I'm involved working with some acquaintance of mine on another large development in the state, and they need 3,000 homes for that area, and that's dirt right now. If you think people have got the cart before the horse before, we should see what they've done with this project. We don't have water, we don't have sewage, we don't have roads, but by gosh, we're going to build here, and it's okay. you can put a house up here in your factory in maybe 2.5 years. Because there is zero infrastructure, and I don't mean zero on the property, I mean zero capacity, even close. Okay? So.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Do you have a second question?
Going back to the rent, you said 1,500. Is that the average, or is that the single?
That's an average.
To have done a profit loss projection on
yes, this. Yes, and I don't have that memorized.
You have a number somewhere. The rent that's going to be charged on.
Yes, we went through and got a cost per square foot rent, and I think if you look at, I'm going to really stretch my memory here, if you look at about six or eight apartment complexes on the east side of Bloomington and two or three on the west side of Columbus, you get a range of $1.55 to $1.85 or $1.86 per square foot rent. Okay? So you can take the mean of that and apply that to a 800 square foot one bedroom to an 1100 square foot two bedroom, and you know, get it close to what we're considering market rate. And then we've even taken about 10% off that, because you know, we're not right next to College Mall, and not in Bloomington. What we're looking at is the demand that we're seeing with the new hospital and all the expansion on the east side of Bloomington. Monroe County does not want more apartments. They're still building them. They don't want more of them. Okay? We're looking at, I know we saw a couple weeks ago that Cummins is laying off a couple thousand people globally. Well, those are also early retirements, but it's a whole other thing. Columbus is growing. Jim, you saw their GDP chart. It's not slowing down, whether it's Cummins, NTM, or the other, all that. and one of the things that I pointed out in the letter of interest is all of the high value and high number of employers that surround Brown County, which you know Jim alluded to in the local neighboring GDP numbers. This location is 20 minutes from Bloomington. Okay. It's 25 to 30 minutes from Columbus, give or take, depending on how late people traffic is. These are all well within commutes. If we have people coming in from New York or California, and you tell them, oh, I've got a 20-minute drive to work, they look at you and go, God, it must be nice. Okay? It's not out of the realm that this is going to be a rapidly populated apartment complex.
Well, and the other, how many apartment complexes do we have in Brown County?
Two.
Right now, we do have two.
We've got the one out near Courtney
Park. Right now, that one out there is Section 8. East of town is the Section 8.
We've got Edge of Town in town.
Okay. But this one here would be, I mean, that would be...
We want this to be market rate. I know there's been a lot of conversations about, we got to do affordable housing, we got to do this, we got to help Brown County residents. I don't disagree with that. What I disagree with is, we have an opportunity here to add to the value of the county by building desirable housing, not necessarily affordable housing. I'm not saying that those are mutually exclusive, okay? But we feel that with the growth that's going around surrounding counties, as Jim has pointed out so properly, we will be able to bring residents in that are high salary, high value workers. Now, this is us getting old. You know, we think I think the median average income in Brown County is 59.4 or something like that. Okay. We anticipate, based on the rates, that this will bring 65,000 plus average salary workers. Oh, that's a lot of money. Well, it's $30 an hour. Okay. Again, I think it's appropriate to look at bringing higher income residents into the county. I'm not saying we shouldn't look out for those that need. I'm saying I don't think this is the spot for more subsidized apartments or subsidized housing. There is a need for it, don't get me wrong. Okay. I think this is a prime location based on the lower commute times being right on State Route 46, that we should be able to draw in high-value workers.
Thank you. What's your take?
Kevin, full disclosure, we had a conference call
about
an hour, as you know, you were involved,
yeah.
And we kind of talked about this. Mm-hmm. Two things we pointed out originally in the numbers. Have you changed those numbers? For those two things that we pointed out?
I think we lowered the head down to 105.
Yes.
At an upper limit.
Okay, the property tax rate, you went with out of county, or in the county, but not in the city.
Correct.
Or town.
Correct. Okay.
And then you didn't make an adjustment in edit.
What edit adjustment did you ask for? That wasn't part of the...
This is, okay. This is where we come back to saying, we got to sit down with you, make sure we got our numbers right.
Okay. Okay. So then, adding specificity to your ask, on the abatement, you're asking for a 15-year graduated abatement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then on the audit, I think someone used the word, Jaron, you may have used the word abatement of edit, but are you asking for cash payments out of edit for the next 20 years according to a certain calculation?
So I don't know. The answer is no. I think the easiest and best way to do this is add this infrastructure into the capital improvement plan for the sewer. The sewer is $2.3 million. It's public infrastructure like a road is. So it should be added to the capital improvement plan. It's $2.3 million, but we're not going to ask for $2.3 million because we're going to bring in other money to help subsidize this thing down so it's even cheaper. But we're looking for that match. So we want that match from Ray 2.0 from Eli Lilly, which is privately owned, to help out with the whole project. So the county is getting the discount on that.
Jim, under public accounting,
yep.
Fund accounting, so you're asking then the county to pay. Your edit here says 1.6, but what you're asking really is for them to pay the line, the sewer line, of 2.3, is what I just heard.
No.
Okay, then what did I miss?
So
this is where we're going to have
The sewer is, the cost in the sewer, just the sewer portion, there's other costs involved too, but just looking at the sewer extension, which is really easy to understand, it's $2.3 million cost.
I see 1.8 here.
Yes, so the 1.8, well, the 1.8 is just the abatement, but the edit is for economic development income tax. So
I'm clear on that.
Yeah, so we're wanting 1.6 million, which is the total edit for the 20 years. That's the justification. We're only taking money from ourselves to pay for it.
Okay, good.
I've got a question. And maybe I'm a nobody, I don't know, but I don't understand how we're even discussing using edit money to anything other than getting ourselves out of the current hole we're in. Why is edit even a part of this? Okay. This is a private person. Why would we give county dollars to start this money? Are we going to own it?
Yes.
The county's going to own it.
The county, or the town, will own the sewer. The sewer pipe.
The sewer.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about.
We're going to own the...
Okay. Again, I was trying to get at to fund the county. Okay. How we get... Because the county will have to come up with, then what I'm thinking, Jimmy, is that the county will have to come up with 1.6 million to right now, at some point in time here, over the next 6 months or whatever, and take that money and invest it in the sewer. And then you're saying your return will be your edit. So I think we just got to be clear on cash flow.
I don't think we're asking you for a $1.6 million check.
No. This is over the course of...
We're going to commit edit money for 20 years.
Yeah.
We're going to commit. We're looking at the money, edit funds, that the residents of this proposed apartment complex would bring into the county. So again, just like if there's no $25 million project, there's no
increase
in property taxes. So if the residents aren't there, there's no edit tax.
Right.
So again, this is a building on ourselves on that particular project.
Yeah, and just to paraphrase what you just said, what I've got going on in my brain, 164 units?
Yes.
Okay. So take an 80% occupancy rate, adjusted gross income of 40 grand, let's say, after everything, right, per unit. Multiply that out on an annualized basis, hit it at 2.5%, and that's the revenue that we would have coming in that we would otherwise not have if it hadn't been for this.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about.
Yes, right.
Yeah. So it's future income tax, county income tax, that we currently are never going to get because that...
Until we build it.
Pardon me?
Until we build it. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, I was listening.
When would that money start coming into the county?
Well, as soon as the apartment gets...
20 years down the line.
Well, No. I mean, as soon as you do the ribbon, you got to do the ribbon cutting.
Okay. Right.
You know, and there's so much detail here that has to be discussed. I mean, there is so much.
We could stay here and talk till Friday.
Oh, we could be here, yeah.
And we won't get done.
Yeah, because I have the other question down the road, a concern I have before we even do anything, is once that property is construction, who's the management? Who's going to be managing this facility so that we can make sure, you know, because the key to this whole thing being a success is the occupancy rate. Yeah. We better have a high occupancy rate because if we don't, we're in trouble.
And they better have jobs outside of the county.
Well, I know all that. But I mean, so today, the only problem is in summary, we got an end of the July deadline. All you're asking for is a letter of recommendation from the council, right?
At this time.
At this time. And this letter of recommendation is not an irrevocable document stating that, by God, we made a decision and we're going to do this.
Right.
All we're saying is, hey, we're interested in it. We support the idea. We're willing to work with the private sector to try to put this together.
Yeah.
That's, in essence, what you're asking us to do, correct?
Right. And to the, again, to, okay, Jerry, go ahead.
Quick question. We know that the town is always interested in annexing anything they can to increase their revenue. Have you considered what the impact would be if you get this done and then the town would annex it, which would raise the tax rate, another 37% or something, I'm not sure what the number is.
Okay. Okay. Let me back to finish Jim's question. I would like to have a stronger version of the letter that the council gave us when we submitted the original application. What I can't answer, because even the people at Uplands don't have the criteria from IEDC yet.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't have the verbiage that you would have to put in a letter of support that would qualify as a commitment. Okay? We don't have that information from Uplands yet. But you have this working session. We're on a crunch. Like, I can't believe they're making us do it this fast. Okay? But they said we got to have this back in by end of July.
Then why don't we do this? Why don't we draft a document? Okay? And let's, if you guys want to edit, rewrite, and draft a document, and then let's hand that document off to Susan Beavers, and let's take a hard look at it to make sure all the commas and everything's placed the way it should.
Be sure that you've got an out.
I don't have a problem with supporting it, but I don't want to get, I will not make a decision in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And find myself in an irrevocable decision.
Now, you're all, and I appreciate that. And also understand, you could ask us all the pertinent questions. We don't have the answers yet.
Yeah, right. So, this is too much.
Okay.
This is too much.
And what is the end of July? What is that step? What is that?
That's when we have to submit our final application.
If you submit it and you're approved and then we decline, then.
Then we don't get the match.
And that's where you talked about if there's eight people, somebody comes out of it, everybody else moves out. That would be
possibly. Okay. What I want to do, and I think it's appropriate with conversations going on here, these numbers that we proposed on page 5, those are our best guess calcs and estimates. Okay. We need to spend some time with Mr. Garitas and probably Mr. Pittman, Bose McKinney, and be sure, or Cleaver, okay, and be sure that this, we meet the sniff test on all this to get through the county financial lens, okay? So that, you know, you talked about using different rates there, just gross income versus gross income, all this stuff, fine, whatever. We have to revise and refine that before we turn this in. I know we need to do that, and that's it. That's his work. Okay, so that's the step. I hope we get more information from Uplands today or tomorrow, because, you know, like I said, today's the 17th. So I've got 2 weeks.
Yeah, you
it's against an IC, the IC codes to do an abatement for a residential property of any kind.
Yeah.
Okay, we're way down into the weeds right now, and this is not what this meeting's about.
Great. Is that where is that right?
You're so far from
This is
all about abatements and what is allowed and what isn't allowed.
And we're talking about
I was involved in the meeting 2 years ago. I don't think Jimmy was here yet. It was his brother Andrew, and Commissioner Biddle was here. And there are a lot of guidelines set forth in the Indiana Code about how and why and what qualifies as an abatement.
What's your residential property, though? What's that qualifying as?
First of all, it has to be in an economic revitalization area. It does not include the land. The land is always going to be taxed. And
thank you. That answered my question.
Yeah. And the residential facilities may not be approved unless it is a multifamily of which at least 20% of the units are for low to moderate income individuals, or is an economic development target area, or is designated as a residentially distressed area.
Okay. But
and also there's a real flooding issue.
Okay, let's back up.
Yep.
The purpose of the meeting that I have spent the last hour and 15 minutes of my time and energy on, okay, is this Ready 2.0 grant deadline July the 30th. Mm-hmm. That's the BHAG.
Yeah,
that's
yes.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Because if we don't get this grant, then this whole conversation is an exercise in futility, is it not?
Sure.
Exactly. Okay. So the only thing that you're asking today is for a letter of interest, a letter of a memo of understanding,
yes.
Some kind of a document that states Brown County government, the county council, we support the concept.
No, and we pledge $3.433 million over the next.
No, we're not pledging crap.
No, we're not.
Slow down.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you.
That's fine.
There's information out there. And you need to educate yourself.
I appreciate that, but today, right now, it's
everybody.
Please. 2 weeks before
please.
Deadline.
One at a time.
What I'm going to repeat, I want to emphasize this because I hear all these, we don't know. We need to sit down with Mr. Garitas and go through this, not just the financial, but, there is so much for us to go through. Yeah. And we have, I know it's short notice. It was short notice to us, okay? When they said you had to, on that meeting, when they said you had to be back by July, it's like, you've got to be kidding me. Thanks, state government.
I want to apologize to you guys for that's my frustration on this. I cannot stand something being thrown in front of us. You got 2 weeks to decide on it, and I know that's not your fault.
Let's take your questions and put them under advisement because all those things we have to work out.
Right.
And we have to have this conversation with Mr. Garitas here to get this under control.
Right. Well, furthermore,
we had the meeting earlier. I wrote down something. Can we state in our letter something of the nature, we are willing to evaluate taking a financial position supporting the project? Is that something like that?
If you could forward that to me, I'll get it to.
See, that it's not it's so generic.
But I want Susan Beaver's advice.
Right, tell them.
Fine. Right, because the support letter that they're asking us to sign, okay, is contingent on so many different variables, and that we don't know. So we don't have, so I will not approve an irrevocable document that says, by God, here's what we're going to do.
Without
knowing. I know you're not. Right. But I want, if Susan Beaver's drafts it, so that document has a legal in there that gives us an out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, make it so it's revocable so you can.
We can revoke it and take it back and say, now we're going to do this.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm all for growth and affordable housing or whatever, but can the edit money be taken out of the equation on this? I don't think our edit fund should be involved in this.
I
know that this is the weeds, Jim, but this is very important.
Okay,
I'm
at ease with the edit because it's edit we don't have. It's not taking money out of our existing edit.
I understand that.
It's future growth that we don't have. If this doesn't happen, we don't get that edit anyway.
Okay, that's my question. So you're saying to me right now that if edit comes out of here, that we get no cash from this project?
For a certain time. But we don't get any cash from a
project. There's more income tax. There's county option income tax that's a lot more than edit. Edit is what, 0.4%? Just a increase?
Yeah, edit's a small, edit's a small part of our income.
I think, and again, we will be happy to get these numbers back to everyone. But when we look at the abatement and the edit value that can help kickstart this project, there is an excess of almost $4 million in extra taxes above your abatements that this project will bring into the county.
But that's if we use our edit money to support
it. I mean,
if we take edit out of your proposal right now, that $1.6 million for 20 years, will the county still get income from this project?
No, they'll get the income from the land, but that's it, because there's no housing, there's no people living here.
So give me that number, what's that number?
See, what we're concerned with is the cash flow in the county, future-wise.
Future-wise.
How do we do that? We give you all the money, and the county's growing, and we have to support infrastructure.
We're on a serious contract right now with emergency services to share.
Yeah, we want to make sure.
No, I haven't got an answer to my question yet.
Can you bring up?
What is the dollar about?
Can you bring up?
On our land right now?
No, you're saying if we're take edit out of this, we won't get the, what do you say?
That means there's no project, because it won't meet the public match requirement. And so then.
Can you bring up that list for my EDC for the available match? Okay. What we're saying is, if you look at all tax revenue generated by this project, okay, it will be north of $10 million over the 20-year period. Okay, number one. We're asking out of that increase that 3.4 be allocated for this one-to-one match, so that we can get another 3.4 million in cash from the Lilly Endowment Initiative. Okay.
So these are all if scenarios.
It's if for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So with this project going forward, there's a $7.25 million tax valuation across the board for all things associated with people living in this project, people working and living here, working somewhere else, paying taxes, property taxes from the project. So you're going to, this is a 100% return on your investment.
I know, but I get that, but we're already in a restructuring.
Okay.
I mean, do we, you, our financial man, we have the money to even remotely not hurt the county for the next 20 years to get in bed with this?
Well, I mean, I
return
don't,
on investment is always
so Teresa
pitch.
I don't know there. Because I have not looked at it in depth. I pointed out a couple of errors in the number. Maybe there's an error in the abatement assumption. There's some vetting that has to happen if you want to take the next step. It's a next step, but I have not vetted.
How do you feel about writing a letter of interest for this?
Well, I think there has to be some clarification.
Yeah.
And specifically on who's going to put cash up when.
I mean, we can't even afford to give people raises. Well, we can't afford to. We can't afford to do so much already.
But why
are we going to get in bed with something?
Right. So I do understand that, number one, there needs to be some housing. And number two, I'm all about AB. I said that in the sustainability from the get-go. We need AB growth. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
Or we're not
because
sustainable.
Because we have a referendum coming, too. We don't even know how that's going to impact us in the next few years.
Well, so hang on. So this is future income. And yes, I deal with this all the time. If we have a cornfield and it stays as a cornfield, it's not paying anything.
Right.
If we have a cornfield that needs incentive to make it something other than cornfield, that's a political decision that has to be made. There will be some gain in the future. There will be some take in the current. No doubt about it. But you do have to, actually, I wish I would have had 12 of these, because if I had 12 of them, I'd have one rolling on, one rolling off, and I'd have some way to fund and get new money. Yes, you're in an absolute tight spot. That's what all I've been trying to do is help for the last 6 months.
Right, you have your organization.
And I'm trying to get some answers.
I don't think you're trying, I think you're doing.
Okay, well, thank you. But I think we do, there can be a win-win. Okay?
I just feel really weird about
you will
taking edit money
but
and giving it to a private citizen for his personal gain.
And that's a political decision. What I'm looking at it is, a cornfield's a cornfield unless you make it change. If you make it change and it brings in some revenue, now the political decision is, do you want to share that? That's a political decision. Economically, I'd say, yeah, you're going to get it back. You're going to get some other benefits. Yeah, there's some bumps in the road. For the next 20 years, we'll have bumps. There's no doubt about it. So, yeah.
So As far as the tax money going in, if we do the abatement, that would be the increase that would be coming into lit that we wouldn't be seeing because we would be doing a tax abatement, correct?
Now, say that specifically again, because I like specific questions.
So, okay, specific question is, the future income that would be made from this happening.
You said income, so that's adjusted gross income.
Yes.
So go ahead.
To lit, okay.
Okay.
Is not going to exist because we're going to give them a tax break in order for them to be able to.
No, that's what I was trying to be very specific with, because okay. Darren used the word abate lit. You're not, or that's what I heard. We're not abating lit, you can't.
Okay.
Okay, there's no law that says that.
Okay.
So what they're asking, and what I was asking, a very specific point is, if, sure, over 20 years, the hypothetical calculation at this point in time says 1.6 million. Fine. Now, who's going to pay that in cash? The county or the developer? And therefore, if the developer's paying it, my assumption is, if what I do every day of this, is then we would have to give an IOU for the next 20 years of a certain amount. Okay, not to exceed, and we didn't talk about cost of capital or anything like that. Very, there's a lot of specifics, as Darren said.
Okay.
So what you, if the county has to add it to its capital improvement plan, holy crap, now we have a problem. Okay, because we can't even get past our current capital plan.
Okay.
So that's very, very important. But don't use abatement of lit in the same sentence.
Okay, then the second thing is, how many people are you planning on having living in this, well?
Yeah, in an average of 2 people per unit, average, that gives you over 330 people.
So if 330 people are new, or half of them are new to our community.
1.5 of them.
Okay, and they're paying an income tax here because they live here. Mm-hmm. Then we have to realize that our income tax is one of our largest tax revenues. Mm-hmm. So that would be increased, and that has nothing against it. It would just be whatever it is, correct?
Yeah.
Well, so what you need to say is we have a total tax rate in 2025 proposed at 2.5. Uh-huh. Now, again, according to my understanding, the current lit is 0.25. Not 0.40, which I've seen a number used of that. So what this does mean is 0.25, you take 0.25 away from 2.5, meaning that you'll get still 2.25 of other lit if they live here. Now the question I would also ask, and I want to make sure we answer, is what is the shortest term rental that the rental agreement will be for?
Okay.
6 months or 1 year? Because I don't want it to turn into, hey, I rent this for 6 months during the summer because I want to play down here. So we've defeated the purpose. What is the shortest term rental?
And the rental agreement. I don't think we can answer that question yet. What we see, this is just me saying this, I see that if you're a young couple and you're looking at Brown County, right now you're saying, there's no housing for my family. I mean, I have four girls. We look at Brown County, we looked around, and there just wasn't, 2 years ago, there wasn't any place for us to live. But if there was a place for us to live, to try out Brown County, try it out for 6 months, try it out for some time to get comfortable with our county, get involved, be a part of our community, and maybe think, okay, I'm going to build something here. I'm going to buy a piece of property. I'm going to build my house. Right. It's a stepping stone. It's not the end. It's a way of like the trial period.
Jimmy, how do you keep the person from it? Let's assume that there is vacancy. You can't keep the person away that says, I want to rent for 6 months during the summer because I just want to play down here. And it's going to now be my temporary homes.
you're asking for questions that are going to...
Well, how can we...
Okay, you're asking questions that pertain to the operation of the apartment complex, the actual leasing agents, who we have not signed a contract with yet. Okay, so we can speculate about this all day long. We cannot answer that. And my gut feeling with the people we're talking to is that there were going to be one-year minimum leases. Okay? Probably two. Now, I saw three hands up, so...
I think Jerry was first.
Jerry was first.
Okay.
Let's get back to the real issue here. Not all the details, but today these gentlemen have come before the county council and the commissioners simply to ask the council to write a letter of support for this. There is no commitment attached to it. Correct me if I'm wrong. They're not committing any money. They're not committing any particular position to this other than to say, well, this is a new project, and we think we'd like to look further into it. Am I correct?
That's all we can ask.
Can I follow up real quick? I want to close this down to any outside comment, okay? We've got 90 minutes vested in this. This is a council-only decision. No one else in the room. The seven of us have got to discuss it, make a decision. Decision to me, and I'm not an attorney, but I think what would suffice is that I'm going to refer to it as a letter of intent, okay, is really what we need, all right? And have Susan draft a letter of intent. Let's get that document drafted that shows that we support this. However, there are way, you know, first and foremost, and just as a disclosure, if the council is going to vote and motion and to approve a letter of intent, then what I'm going to highly encourage is that we develop a working committee with the people that have the intellectual capacity or the intellectual capital, because this deals in tax law. I mean, there's so many different disciplines in this conversation that are involved, right?
Absolutely.
And if we're going to go down this road, then first and foremost, let's use this exercise as an opportunity to develop the local in-county intellectual capital that understands this forwards, backwards, and sideways. And this is our first project to learn how to do this, because if we can get a team of people together that understands how to do this, then the next time the project comes around, it is not like pulling hair.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to open it up to the council, and let the council discuss it, and let's get this done.
Judy had a question.
I'm going to take mine off the table. I agree with Jim.
It would have to be contingent upon future demands put upon us.
Well, yeah, and what I did is I just, you know, went outside, you know, and what I'm reading this, you know, based off. A letter of intent is a document outlining the understanding between two or more parties, which they intend to formalize a legal binding agreement. Okay, we intend, it's a letter of intent, but then we have so many questions that have to be flushed out. I mean, there's been a lot of great questions asked, you know, because it just very briefly, this issue comes down with income tax to residency. And I don't know how the management company is ever going to prevent someone from Florida. Because if I got a home in Florida, and I'm going to claim residency in Florida because they don't have the income tax. And so I move up here and sign a one-year lease, pay $18,000, got myself an apartment, right? So we won't collect any income tax. So that's an area that needs to be discussed, you know. And so there's so much, right, that we don't know.
Let me put this in.
You gotta close this up, please.
Right, yeah. 30 seconds here and I'll be done. What we're entering into here is a period of due diligence.
Yeah.
Okay? I've got questions with Reddy. We've got questions with our operator. You've got questions for everybody. Okay? We're gonna get those as fast and efficiently and completely answered as possible. Okay? Because if we've calculated things wrong, we may have missed the boat already.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'll be 100% honest with you. This crash and burn timeline that they've given us, I don't like at all, anyone in this room. Okay. Is it doable? Yes.
Okay.
One question, one point. In the letter of intent, do you need a dollar figure from us?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because we have, again, said this a few times, I have to sit down, we have to sit down with Mr. Garitas and vet these numbers.
Okay, because we, at this point, I'm not willing to pledge a number. I will pledge.
I will
say that, yes, I'm interested in seeing.
The back page, look at the bottom of the statement, the very bottom of page 5.
Yeah, I've got that somewhere.
Okay, it's a draft. It's going to change the time unit we walk out this door.
Okay. But I just want to say.
It'll be of the nature we're interested in exploring it further.
And if the comment is, you know, as a council member, I'm duty bound to the taxpayers of Brown County. This is a private sector venture. There's going to be an income producing business for the private sector.
Correct.
If in any way this puts a burden on the rest of the taxpayers of the county, I can't support it.
Okay.
That's my criteria as we go forward with this deal. That's the criteria that I have to be able to support.
Well, I will speak as on the private side. We're not putting $19 million in this to lose money.
I understand.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to.
Pardon?
The Stranger Things, that property, Stranger Things is happening over there. So.
And one thing I want to see, and like when the music center was presented to us, it was presented to us with the worst case numbers possible as far as, you know, projections.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I don't want to see the number that goes on, 90% occupancy, full $1,500 rent. I want to see a spread of the worst case numbers and the best case numbers.
Well, like I said,
just so we know what we're looking
have
at.
You got
possibly
12 hours on Monday to work through this?
No, I'm going to have him busy.
Thanks for your time, guys. I know you got more to do. I didn't expect to take an hour and a half of your time. I appreciate the feedback. Hopefully, we can keep this going forward.
Okay, we talked about the CDC.
Don't we have to make a decision on this issue?
We sent the letters talking about it. So do we need to make a motion and a vote and approve you having Susan draft?
Because you're
Christian, Susan's not here to answer.
Well, next Wednesday is the 24th.
We can pull it off.
Yeah. How can we pull it off? They got to have it by the end of the
month. Well, we could decide on the 24th.
Could we do that?
We need the letter now.
Can't we just do this? Can't we just?
Well, we can have the letter by the 24th.
Right. Can we take a motion?
We can have Susan draft the letter.
Just make a motion, make a decision, vote.
Fine. Then have Susan do it.
You got it?
All right.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I make a motion after reviewing the documents, and I would say I exclude, you know, page 5 is really not a part of my decision on this or my motion. In terms of the split, I think it's irrelevant. That's an irrelevant page, not incorporated. But I make a motion that we express as a council our urgency and support for the need for additional housing options such as this investment in Brown County is a critical part of our sustainability, and therefore commit to supporting the project by the necessary means with supporting the concept of the project. And how do we, what's the last part?
You are so good at word salad.
What's the
word salad?
Let me try. I withdraw my motion.
Let's role play back and forth for a minute. Just think it through. Okay?
Let's just try to get through it, though.
Because all Susan, we need to give Susan the instruction of what we're asking her to do, right?
We can do that, we just need a motion.
We motion to approve a letter of intent of support, a letter of intent for support for whatever this is, okay, whatever you call it.
It's done, Jim, it's done.
Okay, I'll just second it.
Say it again.
Huh?
He did.
I seconded it.
Why?
Why don't we say a motion over here?
Motion, we have some.
Chairman.
Draw the letter. Motion was made for Susan to draw the letter of intent.
Letter of intent.
Intent.
To support this project.
Yes.
Okay.
And Joel seconded it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Yay. God, that was hard.